Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to cover John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The Father is the vine dresser, the gardener, as Sharon said this morning. You know, to an amateur, and I'm one of those, and I'm looking out, we have some experts here. I look out, Dan's an expert, I know, and Nancy. At an amateur, go ahead and flip to the first slide there, Jim. To an amateur, a pruned bush really doesn't look like a very good thing. And I'm an amateur. Would you like to look at that outside your window still, outside your kitchen every morning as you cleaned your dishes, got ready for breakfast? It doesn't look that great. It looks like everything is damaged and destroyed. Gone are the branches that had grown the year before. Gone are the flowers and buds that had produced fruit in the previous year. Damaged and destroyed, that's what it looks like. You know, sometimes our lives can look damaged and destroyed. It happens to all of us. We set very high expectations for how life should go, and we have dreams about how it should go, and then it's wiped away with something that's outside of our control. It's happened to me, planning to make the varsity team. I didn't make it this year. I made the JV team. Planning to get that role for the school play, not getting it, and that person you really don't like, they get it. When that happens, we scratch our heads and say, that's not fair. Why is this happening to me? To an amateur who doesn't know much about cultivating vines, yes, a pruned vine doesn't make much sense because it looks like it's been harmed and it has been hurt in some regard. An amateur might come to the conclusion, I would do this, I was thinking through it, how I would help a plant grow a vine like this. An amateur would probably back away and get very passive and think that the best way that this can grow is for the vine to just grow wildly, organically, and take a step back. That's what I would do. Well, we all have that feeling of being hurt and harmed. And the thought comes that we'll never be like we once were. We take two steps forward in progress in whatever it is, the goal that we have. And then something outside of our control comes along and knocks us back one step or two steps. And that stepping back hurts and it harms us. And we scratch our heads and say, my goodness, will it ever be the same? Why is this happening to me? That's the way amateurs look at things. And I'm one of them, especially when it comes to vines. Jesus tells one of the important highlighted sections. When you see it, some Bible translations will actually highlight these words, all capital letters, I am. When that is there, we are to pay attention. Jesus is saying something very important, and he does. He talks about a vine dresser that, my friends, is not an amateur. This vine dresser knows what he is doing. He knows when exactly to prune the vine and the branches. He knows exactly where to cut. This vine dresser isn't like an amateur that would step back and passively watch things and let it organically go. No, this vine dresser goes to work and is active. The vine dresser knows and is not caught up in harming the plant or making the vine dresser isn't caught up in what it presently looks like. He's not worried that it looks harmed or that it's hurt. He's not worried that it looks damaged or destroyed. The thing that motivates the vine dresser in John 15 is the final product, the fruit that will come. So the vine dresser knows that if he doesn't prune, the vine and the branches won't produce great fruit. It'll produce wood, or perhaps it will overproduce and produce lots of fruit, but not high quality fruit. The vine dresser is active and at work. Jesus doesn't lay it out there for us to figure out who the vine dresser is. Jesus says, it's my Father. It's your Father. God is not, here's the thing, God is not way off in another universe, transcendent, not involved in our lives. What Jesus is saying is God is actively calculating every move in your life, actively calculating how to prune you in your life. How many of you want to be pruned today at church? Few people do. Kind of hurts. Doesn't feel so good. Sometimes it damages us. That's what Jesus is saying. God is at work. He's not passive. He prunes us. How does God prune us? Go ahead and flip to the next slide, Jim. I want to point out a few things that this is just me off the top of my head. The first way that God prunes us is His Word. His Word prunes us. Sometimes when we open up the Bible and we come to passages that are hard to read, there's a pit in our stomach and we want to disagree and there are questions and we want to wrestle with that text. Why is this saying this here in God's Word? There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to wrestle. It's okay to question. It's okay to have doubts. A member here at Peace came to me about a month ago and said that they had certain doubts about a part of the Bible. And when they mentioned that to me, the way they looked at me was as if I had a button to hit and that button would bring down lightning and thunder upon that person and smite them. I do not have a button like that. There's nothing wrong bringing doubts, wrestling moments with God's Word, even arguing about it. But here's the thing. While we have questions, while we have doubts, we must have a tender heart to be changed. It's a problem if we don't. We have to get to the point where we can set aside our opinions and realize our opinions are not maybe right, but God's Word may be the thing that is right. We move forward questioning, that's okay, and doubts, but we have a tender heart to be pruned. Friends, that's a special way that God works in our life. We read His Word and we're pruned. Then we produce fruit. Sometimes hurts, doesn't it? Here's the second tool that God uses to prune us. And I got some Bible passages here. We can talk about it later. Come see me. I'd love to talk more about these passages with you. But God uses the people around us to prune us. God did that with His beloved king, King David. He had this man in his life, Nathan. He was a court prophet. And what that means is that Nathan and David cross paths in everyday life, kind of like you would with someone at the grocery store. But Nathan appeared in David's life at certain moments when he needed a word to be spoken to David. It's there in 2 Samuel chapter 12. The Bible doesn't say this, but I think when David saw Nathan walking to him, he thought, here comes that pest, Nathan. Do you have a pest in your life? Do you? I'm not talking about ants. I'm talking about people. Do you have someone that you get to a point where it goes to disagreements, or you have this person in your life and they have a different worldview, and when they walk towards you, you think, oh boy, here comes that pest. I don't want to deal with them. They're going to pour out advice on me. Friends, here's the thing. That very person may be divinely appointed and the person that God is using to prune you so that you can bear fruit. Is that hard? It's hard to hear. I know. Lastly, but perhaps most significantly, God does another technique to prune us. It's not so much pruning that He does. It's actually He repositions branches that aren't bearing fruit, and He positions them in a way so that they can bear fruit. Our text here says, I've got it highlighted here. This is an interesting shift on this text. John 15:2 says, every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And when you hear that, you think he's taking it away, so it'll be away from what's growing. But another way to render that Greek verb, and it is actually the favorable way to render that Greek verb, is this way. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He lifts up. In other words, the vine dresser lifts up perhaps on a trellis so that the branch is no longer on the ground rotting with fruit, but it's brought forward up high so that it can bear abundant fruit. It repositions the branch. Has God ever repositioned you? Maybe he's doing it right now. One of my favorite movies is Mr. Holland's Opus. How many of you have seen Mr. Holland's Opus? It's a beautiful film. It's about a music composer actually up in Portland, Oregon. It's actually about that exact thing, being repositioned. Mr. Holland has a lifetime passion to leave behind a legacy over the entire world of being a classical musician. But he takes the role of being a menial high school teacher. He does that to pay the bills. And when he comes home at night in the beginning of the movie, he works on composing music so that he can be world famous. But then life happens. He raises a family. Life happens. He starts digging in with his high school students and passionately teaching them music. And all of a sudden, a shift happens to him. His legacy of wanting to conquer the world and bring classical music kind of goes by the wayside, and his passion becomes the students that he teaches. Perhaps you know how the movie ends. Mr. Holland, the school board at his school, he's older now, and the school board wants to eliminate his position. And he fights for the music program and the arts in the school. And the school board finally decides no more arts, no more music. Mr. Holland, he goes to his classroom, picks up his things, and goes into the auditorium, which is full of many former students, and one of them being the governor of Oregon. I don't know if that's a true story. I got to look that up. But the point of the story, I believe, is this. God was at work, I believe, shifting Mr. Holland from his focus of bringing classical music and being world-renowned to bearing greater fruit by pouring himself out into children and kids. That's important to notice, friends. How is God repositioning you so that you can bear fruit? Go ahead and flip it one more time, Jim. Finally, God goes to work in one last important way, making us grow. He gives us his son, Jesus. The vine. He grafts us into Jesus. Jesus died so that he could pour out his rich nutrients as the vine to you, the branches. As you come to Jesus and receive what he has, all things are possible in your life. You are strengthened and you have life and you will bear fruit. Friends, as you come forward to the Lord's Supper, and it's why it's such a sacred thing here at Peace Lutheran Church, you receive the very body and blood of Jesus. You are connecting yourself to the vine, and you receive the very best nutrients, grace, mercy, and his love. And the good works that we do out in the community do not start there. They start right here. We're strengthened by him, and we bear fruit in our families and community. That's the vine dresser going to work. You know, to amateurs, life can look like a disaster, can it? We have disasters, and we never think we're going to recover. We have moments that we're hurt. We never think we'll get back to where we were. We have moments that we're repositioned, and we just go downhill. But friends, there is a master way smarter than us putting things together, a vine dresser. And he has your best interest in mind. He knows how to prune you in just the right way so that you can bear abundant fruit. So now, let's raise our hands. Who's ready to be pruned at Peace Lutheran Church? I am. Everybody, let's raise our hands. Let's be ready for pruning season, okay? Amen.